الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We all inshallah read تسبيحات فاطمي after namaz now. 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Anybody of us paid attention to what these words are, or we only read it? Unfortunately, that is how we are passing our life also. What valuable words. If we study the hadith, we'll see, you feel, you must read nothing else, only this, so valuable. But without concentration, it loses all its value. We know the famous instance of one of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was engaged in dhikr of Allah from the time Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam left home till when he came about charge time. And he found her still on the musalla, still in the dhikr. Said, you've been in dhikr all this time? She said, yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I said three words and I've excelled than you. And what was that? Subhanallah bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa rida nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. So these words are not more than her zikr. The concentration. The zikr here is also just Subhanallah bihamdihi. That is the zikr. But how much Subhanallah bihamdihi? Adada khalqihi. So much to the number of the creation of Allah. Adada khalqihi. وَرِضَى نَفْسِكَ. And so much to the, how much Allah gets pleased, so much I'm sending praise. وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَ وَزِنَةَ عَرْشِكَ. And to the extent of the weight of the throne of Allah Ta'ala. وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِ. And to the extent of the ink that is used to write the greatness, the qudrat, the favors of Allah. So one Subhanallah, so much I've sent. So three times Subhanallah bihamdi. So it is this concentration that makes it valuable. And unfortunately, like we have come here, we are concerned of our Islam. Everyone is not concerned. We have made sacrifices. All don't make these sacrifices. But still, this is our condition. And some of our brothers, mashallah, have traveled from the other end of the world, from New Zealand, and have come here. From where and where, but still we are lacking in all these things. So this is what we must try in our namazes we have made, how much concentration we have. One is that namaz, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And one is that namaz, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. In which category now, this our asr namaz, which one did we fall in? In that one, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That's a whole long bayan, but anyway, he says here in this ayat, khashi'un is a separate command of Allah that you performed all your namazes properly with its postures and with concentration and devotion. That is the namaz that gives all that benefits. And the other namaz is fawailul lil musallin, there is wail. Wail, destruction, or a certain valley in Jahannam, so terrible the punishment that the rest of Jahannam asks Allah protection from that valley. So, and that wail is also meant for namazis. Which namazis? Alladhina hum an salatihim sahoon. Who are unmindful of their namaz. And namaz is a thing, how can you be unmindful of namaz? Allah has called you here, Allah brought us. To engage with Him, and then we're not engaging with Him. And if we're not engaging with Allah, then as a punishment, who we get engaged with? Think what we think of, thought of in our asr. I was in namaz, where with Allah? Where I got involved in thinking of this and thinking of that? So So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. And with regard to the Tasbihate Fatimi, there are many different versions of it. One of it is the hadith that a person who reads 33 times Subhanallah, and Allah make us to read with the concentration. 33 times Alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar. And then 10 times La ilaha illallah. 33 times each, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. We can carry on reading as we want to, but this is one hadith also, the version, 10 times La ilaha illallah. A person who does that, people who have gone ahead of him, and usually the people who have gone before us, and they have gone, one is that ahead, and one is in stages and rank, who have gone ahead of us. They've gone far. By reading this, a person will catch up with all those people. And of all his contemporaries who are around him, he will excel and he will beat them all. Just by reading this, we'll catch up with those who are gone ahead of us. And we will excel all our contemporaries, all who are around. Allah will put us ahead of them. What a wonderful thing. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So Allah give us tawfiq to concentrate in all our namazes, all our tilawat of Quran. If we don't understand Arabic, it's the kalam of Allah. That old lady who, for what reason, she didn't learn how to read Quran Sharif. And she only used to read, Hada kalam o Rabbi, pass her finger on every word. This is also the words of Allah. This is also the words of Allah. These are also the words of Allah. And she benefited so greatly from Quran Sharif. And we, after being able to read, and it's a big ni'mat. Today they aren't, it's not there. Not everyone who can read Quran Sharif, Nazra. And then, alhamdulillah, those who have, are reading correctly, with tajweed. Tajweed is very beautiful. Tajweed means to beautify the kalam of Allah. And as we just heard now in the hadith, that to listen to the words of Allah Ta'ala in a beautiful tone. And we should try and read ourselves also as most beautifully as possible. Well, we can't change our voice. If we are croaking like frogs, what are we going to do about it? وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. What Allah has appointed and which cannot be changed, don't worry about changing those things. Allah made you tall, don't worry of becoming short. Allah made you short, don't worry of becoming tall. Even men wearing high heels now, to be more taller. If you are dark in complexion, don't worry of becoming light. If you are white, don't worry of tanning yourself. And now, no. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And ask Allah His fazilat, in which you can move forward. Ask Allah in those things. And Allah has given us all the opportunity, in many things we can move forward. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. Tajweed to beautify. So we can't change our voices, but we can read what the alphabet, the huruf correctly. Practice on that. And while we are here, mashallah, so many people, if we take 5 minutes also a day to correct our makharij, our tajweed, and then to pronounce the what we say, zabar, zair, pesh, pronounce them properly. Don't pull the zair and like you are adding a ye with it, a ya. Don't pull the pesh like you are adding a wow to it. So all that they are teaching, that is tajweed. That is the beauty of the Quran. Which even if you are croaking like a frog, your voice is, you can't change that. But you can read your Quran Sharif and pay attention. And that is what Allah loves, that you can read your Quran Sharif and the rules of tajweed. You don't have to become a great qari, but at least that you read correctly. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Yesterday we discussed about washing the face. Then after that, in washing the face also comes khilal of the beard. And when we have washed the face finished, then a person whose beard is full, we make khilal. And then to say, Hakaza amarani rabbi is sunnat also. Put water, take water in your palm, put it in your beard, and then rub your beard like that. and say, Hakada Amarani Rabbi. Make your khilal also. And what that we're saying, Hakada Amarani Rabbi. It's also a sunnah. And it will add great beauty to our wuzu, great rewards to our account also. And then after that is washing of the arms. The arms, unfortunately, and we should try and correct it, we are making wuzu from the tap. So when we take first, very important, we're washing from the tap where the water, most cases, flowing all the time. And nowadays with the lever handle, it's easy to close the tap. You set it on your temperature where you want it. It isn't like with the two separate taps like before. And then now you want to close the, or stop the water when you're washing or something, both taps you have to close. And then when you open again, you have to set the temperature again. Now with the lever handle, it's set at its temperature. And you just, you took water in your hand, and you just press it a little, you close it. It's quite easy. Allah give us tawfiq. And in any case, don't let the flow be too much. Only absolute necessity. Only let it flow to that extent. Today we got a habit. We want to open the tap. We just open it wildly and just let the water flow. It's very, very wrong to do that for any time, anything, to just waste water. Every ni'mat of Allah, use it. It's meant to be used. Use it. And that is the shukr of it. But don't abuse it. That ni'mat of Allah, don't abuse that ni'mat of Allah. And when this happens, then we get water restriction. Then we blame the government. The government is incompetent. Allah, very clearly in the hadith, when we obey Allah's command, Allah puts a government over us that will see to our ease and comfort. And when we disobey Allah, Allah puts a government over us that causes us, that makes zulm upon us. So it's not from them directly, it's from Allah Ta'ala. So it's directly from them, indirectly it is from Allah Ta'ala. So we shouldn't abuse water also. So anyway, we so much, but we should work towards making wuzu from the tap, from the mud. And today Allah reward those ulama and those people who have worked on and made the mud common today. Before, we knew the mud, but we didn't know a mud. And we used the jug if we wanted to. But now today, the actual mud, the shape of it, exactly as it was of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, and Allah reward those people who have made the mud even from stone and from mud. Mud will be clay that breaks easily, but from the stone one, that is also of the mud of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And they are available, we should. If our masjids, unfortunately, many of our masjids, our wuzukhana here also, is not user-friendly with the mud. Allah give us tawfiq that you can make a place where you can put your mud and easily you can use it and make wuzu from the mud. And then at least those who want to, but at home we all can do it. And we can make it that we make wuzu in a sitting position also. I remember very clearly when we were studying in Darul Uloom Dioban, young that time in the 20s, energy, everything, our place where we stayed, Ihataba, it had corridors in front. And after the corridor, you step into the courtyard, or step down. So at the corridor, there was a water gutter for the water to flow. So most of us, the students, we should just sit there on the corridor at the end, and in the squatting position, and with the lota we used those days, and a person, it was surprising now when I think of it, usually all just wore lungis, mostly lungis we wore, and we should sit there and make our wuzu, and wash our legs also, still young, easy to pick up the leg, putting your weight on the other leg, and you wash just one leg, and then the other leg, and then get up and run for namaz. As unfortunate student, always late also, and running also not, but as you are going, you're seeing all students making wuzu like that. That was the normal way, in the squatting position, and without or any help of anything, not from a tap. Unfortunately, there were few South Africans, there was a tap very near our room, and they should come specially there to make wuzu from the tap. But otherwise, by and large, all just from the lota. and just in that squatting position, and then all moving for namaz. It was a very, very common sight, which really, of course, you can only cherish it in your thoughts. We don't see it at all. Now, all wuzu is from the tap, and even when there are seats, which make it more comfortable, but then to how many people still stand and make wuzu? And then we are making wuzu from the basin usually. Also not the correct. We have moved so far from the actual sunnat, and yet we regard that I'm very sunnat paband. But generally our lives, we are very far from the sunnat. So anyway, take the water now. Just let the flow be just how much is required. And then that is now more perhaps of a luxury, the sensor tap, where just when you place your hand, the water comes. Some masjids have got those steps also. The minute you move your hand, then the water stops. So there is no wastage in that. But also, we should think in all these things in detail to the cost of that sensor tap and the maintenance of it also. And on the other side, the normal conventional tap, we should estimate and work out the two things. So anyway, now when we take water, it is not correct that under the tap also in the basin, we put our arm under the water and we wash it. The correct way is you take water in your palm, chullu, and then you drop that water down and let it fall, let it flow away here. And then you rub your hand completely. That is the correct way. Not just that we put our hand under the tap and we washing it. That is not the correct way. Because with the mud, you can't do that. That's out of the question. You take the water on in your chullu. Chullu in English? Palm. Your handful. And you drop it like that. And then after that, and start from the front, from the finger side, up this way, and wash everything. Very, very important in here, why we are having this discussion, is that the elbow must not be left out. And the elbow is the whole elbow till the end of it, till where the forearm is. That all must be included. So sometimes it gets left out here. And then the more higher we go, the more the parts of the body will shine on the day of Qiyamah. So even if we don't go more higher, then at least the elbow must be included properly. You can easily feel your elbow. Anyone can feel it. Till there, we must and try to do it a little bit more, a minimum. How much more we do, better. And this three times. And then the left hand also take the water and then drop it. And when it's running, then wash your palm, your forearm properly. So that is with regard to the forearm. Anything else? If anyone remembers anything, remind us, we share it, all can benefit, inshallah. Ji, after that, khilal. And khilal of the fingers like this. This side also, and this side also. What's the fazilat? Is fazilat also? Anyway, so make khilal also after that. And also don't forget, when we washed our hands, some must not be left out. Easily it can get left out. Make sure we wash the thumb also. And then the whole wuzu with the elbows also. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. With regard to our roza, which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made farad, and according to many ulama, they said on every part of the body, rozas have been made farad. And when we keep roza like that, then we'll get the benefits and the profits and the spiritual benefits of a roza, then we'll appreciate what Ramadan was. Otherwise, it will be just staying hungry and difficulty of getting up for sehri, night, taraweeh, etc. But if we do it properly, and we got like a person who worked for somebody, he didn't work properly, so the person refuses to pay. He say, hey, useless working for that boss. He doesn't pay. But you didn't work properly. So he's not paying you. One person told his boss that I need an increase in my salary. So he said, okay, let's sit down and discuss. How much are you getting? For example, 10,000 rand. Getting 10,000 for the month. The month has got 31 days, according to their calculation. So you are getting 10. Out of the 31 days, For the month you are getting 10,000. How many days you coming to week to work? 5 days a week. So 5 fours are 20 days. 11 days you're not coming. So we have to subtract that. Now to have paying you for the whole month, that means every day 24 hours I'm paying you for. And how much you coming to work for? 8 hours. So 16 hours I must take out that also. And then in the 8 hours you are getting 1 hour lunch, your break, tea break, all that also. Finally he worked out, he said, actually you owing me. Yeah, I'm doing you a favor, I'm paying you. So if we work, and we must work properly, and we, by the boss, you're not working for him like that, but we are Allah's slaves. Full, every second we are Allah's slaves. And Allah has given us the most perfect deen. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum na'mati, wa radhitu lakum al-islam deena. Where your eating also becomes ibadat, if you do it according to deen. Your sleeping also becomes ibadat. Your going to toilet also becomes an ibadat, and a very big ibadat also. All your natural things. Your getting married is a big half of iman. Your becoming intimate with your wife is a great ibadat also. And if you do it all correctly, what a great ibadat it is. So Allah has given us this beautiful deen. So we should bring the whole of deen. This month of Ramadan is not a matter of staying hungry. It's not of going on a hungry strike. It is really fasting on every fast. So we explained about the eyes, the tongue, the ears, the mind and the heart. With regard to the mind and heart, and which common problem most of us have, stray thoughts. Now we think our Asr Namaz, how much we are thinking of Allah. Where were our thoughts? Did we make some effort to bring our thoughts? Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair said, Dil ka lagana faraz, dil ka lagna faraz nahi hai, dil ka lagana faraz hai. For your heart to be in Namaz is not faraz. To bring your heart into Namaz. And the example, like a mother walking with her little child, and they're holding the child, especially if it rained, puddles of water. Children like to run into the water and go and kick their legs there or whatever they can, they enjoy that. So the mother is holding the child's hand properly. And the child wants to take out its hand all the time, trying his best. And if it gets a chance, gone in the water. So the stray thoughts also want to go out all the time. They want to go different. We have to keep that thoughts in. And when they gone out, just bring them back again. That is all. As human beings, our stray thoughts will come. But as you make effort, you will see, inshallah, hardly they come. And if they do come, very lightly, not like now. We are immersed in our other thoughts besides Allah Ta'ala. Then it will be, easily you will be able to, and we won't have to come out. Allah will take us out. My banda, you are by me. And I will take you out of your, like the mother will go and take out the child from the puddle of water, Allah will take us out. So all that, one great, easy and main solution which our akabir, our ulama give is just ignore that. Don't pay attention to it. Now take a simple example. For example, if a person came for itikaf from land, from Randfontein, Rudiport nearby, and he could walk also, and he walked to come. And as he came walking, what and what won't he pass? Somebody selling fouls, somebody fighting. Now he won't worry of going to become a referee there. That some people are fighting, that I must see who is right or wrong. Or I must join in the fight also. Everyone hitting one another, let me also just go and hit. For who they hitting, why they hitting, I don't know. But I must also just go and join. We don't get involved in all that. Somebody else having a discussion, and you hear some key words in there. It's about Palestine. Let me contribute there also. No, then you won't reach here. You ignore all those things. And then you reach here. Or, for example, maybe, I don't know if anyone is in Sunnat Atikaf already. There are a few. And last 10 days, inshallah, many of us will be in Sunnat Atikaf. But we still will have to go toilet. Now, if we're going to the toilet, now somebody wants to start a discussion, we won't. Otherwise, our Atikaf will break. There are notices on the notice board. If we stop there to read that, our etika will break. If somebody, some old friend of us, we met him, and he wants to hug you and all that, you'll avoid it. You avoid. After my itikaf will break, I have to go back to the masjid. I just came to my necessity, wuzu or toilet, and I must be back again. So then we'll reach here, and our itikaf won't break. So in namaz also, all that, the same thing happens. Only thing in dunya, we do apply ourselves. In deen, we don't even think of applying ourselves. So in namaz also, all that stray thoughts will come. Just ignore them. If you're going to get involved in this stray thought, in that, you are lost in one thought. If you do perchance come out of it, there's another 10 waiting for you. So as when you came walking, and all these things were happening, and you didn't worry about it. If you are driving also, and you see that there's an accident, now you stop there, go and find out what's happening. And you don't want to help, that's not in your jazba to help also. But yeah, you want to know everything what happened. All the peanut gallery comments, or that you are too much interested in. Somewhere else you see some people gathered, you also stop there. Or you are in the Kruger Park and some cars are gathered, and for what they are gathered, you think there must be a lion. Just some rocks there. And all just pointing there, and you also joining in there. So where are you going to get? You won't get anywhere. So just ignore all these things, and then you'll reach your destination. You'll reach Allah, you'll be with Allah in your whole namaz. And you'll reach Allah Ta'ala. So this is the main advice all our buzurgs give. Stray thoughts, just ignore them. Joha is a comedian, Arab comedian. He had a fruit tree in the front of his house. And when he draw fruit, children come, they want to eat. So, and he should enjoy, and he should wanted them to eat. But whenever they came, he should chase them away. So somebody told him, Joha, when you want them to eat and they come to eat, why you chase them away? He said, their mentality, psychology works. If I don't, they won't come again. They want that little bit. So when I chase them, they enjoy, they run. And then they looking, old man is out of sight. And then they come back again. That's the mentality of children. So stray thoughts are also like that. They want to just come and trouble us. Just ignore them. They'll say, this old man, he's not paying attention to us. So they won't come again. But the more you pay attention to them, they enjoy. Or you are walking on the road and a dog is barking. The dog will bark and go away if you don't pay attention to it. But when you pay attention, the dog enjoys it also more. It comes more barking and coming towards you. So just ignore it and you'll carry on. So all the stray thoughts, barking dogs and all these things, just ignore them. That's the easiest. And the best way to ignore them is just concentrate on, I'm in namaz. That's the lowest level of concentration. And you will be out of sahun, that I'm in namaz. And think I'm in ruku. That's easy. Now I'm in a standing position. And now your namaz won't be an unmindful, but still of a low level. But you'll be out of being in an unmindful namaz. Now I'm reading Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. Now I'm reading Qul Huwallahu Ahad. All that is concentration. Then you can develop your concentration to the height where the famous instance of Mahmud Ghaznavi sitting with his ministers having a discussion. And one of the ministers in that discussion fixed up his button here in front. Mahmud Ghaznavi became very angry. When we are busy in a meeting and we are talking, how could your thought ever go to anything else? To your button or anything else? Your thoughts 100% had to be in the matter we are discussing. Not even your scratching ear or something. You must be fully devoted. Therefore, even scratching in namaz. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw a person scratching, playing with his beard, and said, this man hasn't got Allah in his heart. If you had Allah in front of Allah, how can you think of playing with your beard, scratching ear or anything? So Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah alayhi told him, in the next time you do this, I fire you. You don't sit in my mashura. So we are by Allah in namaz. How could our thought go anywhere else? That is the height. Think in my namaz. And if you aim for the height and you slip from there, you'll be still in proper namaz. You will be still in concentration. But if you are right at the bottom, you will fall out of namaz. So be, try and work to the height that I'm Allah. Allah is watching me. I'm with Allah Ta'ala. And I'm reading for Allah Ta'ala. I'm bowing down for the greatest being. Ya Allah, make my ruku that it is a ruku. That is, I'm not a fraud. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm showing everyone I'm in ruku, but I'm not in ruku. Oh, I'm making ruku to my nafs, to my desires. I'm making ruku to my thoughts. No, only for you, Ya Allah, give me a ruku, give me a sajda, a qiyam, jalsa, which is exclusive for you. How you want it, give me that type of a ruku. Then see how valuable that comes. And if it has to slip down, you'll be still properly in namaz. But if you are going to stay right at the bottom, you'll fall out of namaz. So Allah, give us this concentration. Then comes, after our thoughts, the roza of the mind and the heart also, and that is also just a very little bit. Allah, give us tawfiq, that all this Allah opens up upon us. The more we want to practice on deen, Allah gives us the tawfiq, makes it easy, and Allah opens more of deen. And then you will see, and anyone can see for himself, that at one time, by five times namaz was a problem. I couldn't manage five times a day namaz. Like today also, non-Muslims, that you are fasting. I remember long ago, when we were still a lot in the administration of the madrasa, it was about 12, 13th Ramzan, and we went to the banking of the madrasa, we had to go and do. And the teller there, discussing, they also, non-Muslims, they said, you're still fasting. I say, it's going so fast. They were surprised. Fast? Say, how can you, one roza is too long. Impossible. For them, the non-Muslim, five times, you Muslims, whole day you only praying. But we make our five times namaz and our whole life carries on. And with that five times namaz, how about other things also we are, what we're not supposed to do, we are doing. On that, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah is one very valuable malfoz, that if you get involved in any layani, unnecessary thing, superfluous, and which doesn't benefit you in any way, deen, dunya, anything. And so many things we get involved in there. He says, everything we might regard it as a small matter. Why are you so strict? Why are you sweating the small things and that? You are so hard. Say, everything of this, its border is with haram. And when you get involved in there, though permissible at the beginning, but eventually you will go to haram. Its nature is such, we say it's a small matter. Don't be so hard. Don't be so strict. What the whole day, deen, whole day must read Quran. And how we exaggerate. Parents or the ustad give you your specific times. When you just have to adhere to that, it's a whole day we have to read Quran. You just tell somebody five, they say whole day we have to make namaz. It's only five times. Out of the 24 hours, five namazes, if you allocate half an hour, only 2.5 hours out of the 24 hours. But the person who doesn't want to, he says, again namaz, all the time namaz, all the time tilawat, all the time bayans carrying on. One person going home 2-3 o'clock in the morning, police caught him. Yeah, this person looks like a not a right man. He's here out on the road 2-3. Where are you going? I'm going for bayan. Bayan, 2-3 o'clock in the morning? Where? At home. When I get home now, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, what the bayan will start now? Till past Fajr, that bayan will carry on. So, whole day, bayan. But anyway, all this is shaitan who has got hold of us. And when we get involved in anything which is not of deen, smallest thing also, its border is with haram. And when you get involved, you will get laid and then you will go into haram. So Allah give us tawfiq. So after that, there is roza of the stomach. And we are keeping roza, we're not eating. What other roza must we keep of the stomach? We mustn't eat, we're not eating. We're going to eat in a toilet. Took some food in our pocket and went toilet and we're eating there. We are keeping roza, but the roza is of many aspects of the of eating. There are many aspects. One is don't overeat. Today this has become the norm to overeat. And in fact, in the non-Muslim way, the way of the people of dunya, they have competitions to see who can eat more. Just imagine that same thing. To eat little bit extra, little tasty food, no problem. But where it led to finally, even competitions of seeing who can eat more. We're living not to eat, we are eating to live. Just eat so much that you can manage your life. But now where it has gone, and that all are taking interest in that. Who won that competition? Even if we are not part of it, but we also got interest in that. So we also, and whoever is involved, even to that degree, is counted that he's also part of those people. We know it's wrong. We don't agree with it. But who won the competition? A Frenchman, an Australian man, Indian man, who won that competition, eating so much? And today, for example, people get together, top government officials, to talk rubbish, and actual rubbish. All the refuse, how to get rid of it, is all rubbish. And they get together, how much we collect it, how much we get rid of it, how much we recycle it. So actually, they're getting all big arrangements, and big hotel bills, and big for the facilities of the where the meetings are going to be. All just to talk rubbish. And today for eating also. And big competitions about eating. So eating, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, a mu'min eats in one stomach, and a kafir, 10 stomachs, 7. 7 stomachs a non-Muslim eats. In other words, a Muslim eats that little bit. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the food of one person suffices for two. Two people's food is enough for 4 people. But today, Maulana Suleiman Janji, rahmatullah alayhi of the Merkaz, when we are giving time, he explained that if you are traveling by train, for example, remind me from where I'm seeing this, then you get into the train and you see you're a Muslim, you can make out he's a Muslim man, and they are non-Muslim people. So they don't want to give you place. There is a seat, the bench seat, where 4 people can sit on, and there are only 3 people. But the minute they see you, they stretch their legs. Oh, no place here. And they just make it a sign also. And you move to the next place. If there's some place for me there, nobody. But if it's your people, then immediately, even if there are 4 or even 5, they say, too much place here. Come, sit down here. So it's a matter of what our affiliation is. If we got the place in our heart, there is place everywhere. And if there isn't place in the heart, then there isn't place. When there is place in the heart, for a stranger also, you got time also, you got money also, you will go out of your way to help him. But if there isn't place in the heart, for your dear and close ones also, I haven't got money, I can't manage it. I'm not even managing myself, how can I help you? So it's a matter of in the heart. So food also, if a mu'min, easily, if he's got place in his heart for 2 people, for 3 people, that spirit must be in our heart. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, a lady came to beg, and she had only a khajur to give. And she had a little children, she made pieces and gave the children. She had place in her heart for her children. She didn't eat, she gave them. So a person will easily share. So a mu'min, that is his qualities. Not that he wants to eat more. Yeah, Maam Musa Sahib has to make so many times announcement. Yeah, we have come here for i'tikaf, for our Islam. But when we are dishing out, how much we dish out? That a person wonder which is the plate and which is the platter. The amount we have put in our plate looks like that is the platter. And you are convinced this person will never finish it. Mona says that it goes for waste, but what we have seen, when you look again, it's gone. It vanished into thin air, and again so much is dishing out again. How is that going to get finished? But they put it away. And it's an achievement to put it away. And how much more we eat, the more that person frees me. How he carries on, just eating all the time. So one very important thing of eating, to eat, how much is necessary. And it's just a matter of a little bit of focus of the mind. And you will see, you will get it in order. And when you eat, one person ate so much, as we'll say, right here to the neck, to the throat, right to here. So his food, very discomfort he was suffering. So he asked the Hakim for some medicine. So he gave him some powder churan, that you drink it, and then it will digest your food. So he told him, you are the most stupid man in the world. Your father was a great famous Hakim, he's even more stupid than you. And your great, your grandfather, even bigger Hakim, very, he was even worse. Why? He said, if I had place, I won't put this churan in my mouth. I'll put another pie, another samosa. Give me something to rub on my stomach from outside. And so much we eat. When we eat, we need somebody to help us to get up now. We are so heavy that you need a crane, or two people, or two cranes, two people. So that's not the way of a mu'min at all. So that is the roza we must get used to, not to overeat. And this overeating which I'm referring to is halal and tayyiban, even good halal food. At one time, we were also under the disillusion and thought that if you get halal tayyib, you don't get it, put it away. Eat as much. No. Halal and tayyiban also must be in its limit. And the other haram or like haram or doubtful, don't even touch it. Don't even look at it. That's right out of the question. The good halal food also in moderation. Just how much? Occasionally, it's all right. A person indulges, have some food. When Nabi Ali Salat, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiya was so hungry, and he tried and get Hazrat Abu Bakr to invite him. He asked him a masala. So he just told him, and he passed. Hazrat Umar came. He asked him also that perhaps he'll ask me to come home. And so he also didn't. Nabi Ali Salat wa Salam came, recognized what the story, smiled at him. He said, Abu Huraira, you're hungry? Come, let's go home. And then a bowl of milk came. How much will a bowl be in the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam? Not a big bucket or a dig, a small bowl. And then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, Abu Huraira, go and call a Sahabi Sufa. He says, what went through my mind? This is not enough for me and a Sahabi Sufa now. And I will be told, drink, give them to drink. And I'm so hungry. And I will be told that give them to drink. And they all drank, they came, they drank. Then Nabi alayhi salam smiled and said, now, it's only me and you left Abu Huraira. And then he smiled. He said, yes. He said, drink. He drank. He said, drink more. He drank. Drink more. He says, wallah, I haven't got any more place in my stomach. So occasionally, once in a life to eat that I haven't got a more place in my stomach. But that's a regular occurrence. Every day, that's not the life of a mu'min. That's not the life of an ordinary Muslim. That's the life of the kuffar, of the people of dunya. We as mu'mineen, and when we have come for our islah, and our islah is not getting done in our eating. We have mentioned that we had Maulana Abdullah Durwesh, also used to come, Jayyid Hafiz, very pious, very, very muttaqi person. And his work was just to read Quran Sharif. 24 hours, Quran Sharif. And he should go and eat for iftari and iftari also. He should just go a little later than the people who are eating have just finished. And he should eat all their leftovers. From the plates he should eat. And Allah gave him a mort also like that. And he was so particular, he should see who's the imam in his masjid. If it's an imam that he did not agree with, he didn't make namaz behind that imam. Of his namazes, today namaz is the, if we got a million rand to invest, we won't just invest it with anyone, but namaz, where anyone comes, put him in front. You go in front, you go, it's our namaz. Yeah, but we got no regard who we are making. We just make behind any person namaz. It's very, very important. Very many years ago, when we just came to Azadwar, and the Muslims were of Krukasdorp originally, Mukhali city, then they were sent to Azadwar, the Group Areas Act. But the businesses were still in Krukasdorp. So they asked me to go and make Jummah namaz that I should go. One occasion I spoke about dressing, Islamic dressing and that. One very good musalli, Allah give him Jannah, he came to me, he said, repeat your talk next week again. So I asked him why. He said that on a Saturday, there were only shops, people were not living. It was before foreigners came, and all the even towns are now fully occupied. That time there was no Muslims then on a weekend. Saturday, Zohar time, people are busy closing their shops. Even good musallis don't come for namaz. So very, very few musallis. So one, when there wasn't anyone, no imam also. So they told one person to make namaz. So when he went forward, he didn't put on a jubba also, a skipper, t-shirt he had. And at the back, a naked woman's picture. And he's making imamat. So that was the condition we had dropped to. So he said that, let the people understand the importance of dressing Islamically correctly. Anyway, Allah give us tawfiq. So about the food, let us at least one try. And this is, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah, he said, if you're in the habit of eating 10 rotis for your meals, then don't reduce it suddenly. Make it one less, or make it half less for how much you are eating. And then carry on with that for a period of at least 40 days. When you're used to that, then drop it another half. The diet, all this diet is just money making. They don't help anything. Follow the correct way, easy. That just drop how much you are eating, maintain that, but drop it a little. And at least for 40 days, 6 weeks, then you just now never ever exceed on that. And after 6 weeks, when your body is used to that, drop it a little again. And then you will easily, and your diet won't backfire on you again. That you came to the weight you wanted to, and now you celebrate. And the next day you back again, right at the other end again. That you, and they tell you, give yourself a pat on the back. That you managed to lose 10 quick kilos, 20 kilos, 30 kilos. Now you go to town again. And you back where you are. Again, now take all the diet tablets and powders, all unhealthy things, destroy your health again and come back here again. So all the time, one person opening the window, another one closing it. Another one goes and open, another one closing it. All day just the same routine, in and out. So Allah give us tawfiq to our eating also, rozas of the stomach, one of the perhaps most important and the place where most we have to make effort on. That we keep our rozas of our stomach correctly, and also the root cause of everything we must see. And the root cause of everything is the food we are eating. You can make as much tabligh as you want to, khanka, darulum. If our food is not right, everything is lost. All the effort, food has to be right, is the first thing. And how we eat it, how much we eat it, all that has to be correct. So roza of the stomach is a very, very important aspect. Allah give me first, all of us tawfiq inshallah.